listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke, your daily Broncos podcast.
What's happening, Broncos country? Welcome back into a brand new episode of the show. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on when you're listening to this on Thursday, August 6th, from the South Stands to the end zone. You are Locked On Broncos. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst and Broncos insider for the Locked On NFL Network. Sounds like Adam Schefter. Outside of that, obviously very excited to be back with you guys here for another episode of the show here today to talk Broncos news, content, and more on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and our good friends over there at Spotify. Today, we're going to break down a variety of interesting topics because the Broncos, they're still continuing the early walkthrough status at the UCL Training Center in Inglewood, Colorado. There's some interesting storylines maybe we could look ahead to for the 2020 season. Granted, we get there. Also, a Broncos running back was named to a selective top 25 running back rankings list put out by a prominent name in the NFL media. Plus, what could be some ideas for a potential NFL bubble? How could it work? I think I have the best plan in place for that. So we're going to talk about that all on today's jam-packed episode, Locked On Broncos. If you guys didn't catch yesterday's episode of the show, I highly encourage you guys, go back, go listen to it. Von Miller, Vic Fangio, Cortland Sutton met with the media, and we heard a lot of great bits and pieces from all three parties there. More specifically, yesterday's theme had a touch on leadership and legacy, something that Von Miller really reflected on in the offseason. I thought we saw a different kind of Von Miller yesterday. And so I want you guys to go back. If you haven't listened to that episode, go check out yesterday's, hear the insight, hear my reaction to it, because I think things are going to be moving forward with Von Miller. I think he's going to have a big season. He's just got a different mentality. He's got this loose focus. I coined that phrase several times in yesterday's podcast, but go back, check out yesterday's if you've not done so just yet. So let's kick off today's episode of Locked On Broncos. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got some ideas on how a potential team-specific NFL bubble could potentially work in the NFL, and bear with me here. I'm going to rely a lot on your feedback after this episode is published to your favorite podcast provider, whatever you're listening on today. I want to hear from you guys, so send me a tweet or a DM at Cody Rourke NFL on Twitter. But I think that the idea for an NFL bubble, I think, is a safe bet. Now, granted, there's more logistics to it overall in comparison to the MLB or even to the NBA for that matter, because the roster sizes, they are much bigger. The personnel groupings on the field are much bigger than what you see on a basketball court or on a hockey rink or anything along those lines, or even at a baseball field. It is much different overall. So what are the necessary precautions? Because look, I look at it this way. College football is going to happen. Now, there was an FBS school. There was a college football team, UConn. They opted out of the season as a football program. So no college football for anybody out of UConn. There are some JUCO schools, some NAIA, some Division II schools that are going in the spring. High school sports are going to the spring, but the NFL is going to kick off in fall, which is literally just about 6 weeks away from us having Broncos football on the television, folks. So it's coming there. So in terms of if the NFL were to implement a bubble, I believe the New Orleans Saints at this point in time, they're actually orchestrating a mini bubble themselves. And so it inspired me to come up with an NFL-wide team-specific bubble. How could they make it work? Now, obviously, there would be restrictions. I think anytime you have as many players, you have as many people on a roster, many employees, coaching staff, personnel, everybody that's necessary for game day operations for the Denver Broncos or for any other NFL team, I do think that they have a responsibility to follow the guidelines. Now, I think Devin McCourty mentioned it very, very clearly on his podcast with his brother, really about the fact that they're still seeing dudes post on Instagram, them being in clubs, going out all the time. That's risky to an NFL season. We've seen what's happened with the Florida Marlins. We've seen players, even the Cardinals now at the MLB level, they've been impacted by COVID-19 diagnoses, outbreaks within the team, and it impacts the overall schedule. So what does happen? Because I don't think the NFL has come out and has clearly addressed that, look, if this happens, if there is an outbreak, here is our plan. Here's how we're going to proceed. Let's say that the entire offensive line, let's say that the center, the guard, and the tackle, let's say they get diagnosed with COVID. Well, the players around them, guess what? The whole offensive unit, more than likely, I would say the whole offensive unit, because they are spreading them out in the meeting room, but if they've come into close contact with them, that whole unit's got a quarantine. They've got a test. They've got a quarantine. It's just not going to be pretty. So what happens if you lose 6 to 7, maybe 8 starters? And it could be a combination of on offense and on defense. It doesn't have to be just one specific unit. But let's say you lose a combination of 6 to 7 or maybe 6 to 8 total starters overall. What is the NFL going to do? How are you going to replace that? How are you going to fix the depth issue that is now presented with the loss of that many players? There are a lot of slippery slopes, I'd say, in this situation. So I talk about season restrictions. That's first on my list here. What can you restrict? Well, yeah, I get it. Training camp, you know, the players, they have to be away from their families. They have to go to the team-specific hotel. I think that the Broncos should follow what the Saints are doing right now. I think they need to purchase a lease agreement for the next 6 months in Denver for wherever they're at whatever it may be. It could be any hotel. I mean, it could even be in Centennial. It could be, you know, just down the road from the Broncos practice facility. But rent out that hotel. No public people can be in that hotel. Just Broncos players, employees, personnel, everyone necessary, like I mentioned, for game day operations. Have them stay there for 6 months. Now, I know that's asking a lot, but look, if we're really talking about having a full-on NFL season, minimalizing the risks of potential outbreaks, that's what's got to happen. The NFL has to find a way. Teams have to find a way to create their own bubble. Okay, so some season restrictions. Yes, you'd be a little bit of a ways away from your family for a little bit. There's other ways too, but you know, I think that if you allow players to leave the team facility, they go back home. They go out, they hang out with people, they go to a place, a barbershop, they go to a restaurant, and let's say they contract it, they don't know it, they hang out with their teammates, and they don't socially distance, which, you know, it's hard to do in a big group setting like that. It's always hard to socially distance, and then all of a sudden all these players get outbreaks. That's going to stop the NFL season from happening. That's going to stop it in the middle of it if it does happen. So I think you have to have this kind of emphasis on, you know, commitment to one another. That's what Vic Fangio, it's what Von Miller, it's what the Broncos have really preached. Look, if you care about a football season happening, you need to follow these guidelines. So I'd say that the 6 month lease at a private hotel for the team only is going to be the key idea here for the bubble. Now, here's the deal. Teams will commute from the hotel, the team specific private hotel that's closed off to the general public. Nobody can get there besides employees and also Broncos staff, personnel, players, so on and so forth. They go from the hotel to the practice facility every single day. They're limited on downtime, but you find a way to create a bubble. It's not like Orlando where you're going to get all these amenities like a swimming pool to be able to go fishing, doing all this stuff. You're not going to get that in Denver, not even for many other teams, but you need to do that. And also teams, they can commute from the hotel to the airport to where they get on the team jet. They fly to another city where they are now arranged with yet another private hotel, and they stay there for 2 days, and then they go and they play their game, or they stay there a day and a half. Then they go and they play their game. They come back and they do the same process again. Hotel, team facility, team jet, and bam, go from place to place. I think that's the only realistic way that an NFL season can go on without there being a significant risk for an outbreak of COVID cases. I think that's just my perspective on it. And this is where your feedback comes in, Broncos Country. What are your thoughts? What would your ideas be for a team-specific bubble for the NFL? I think for the Broncos, that would be a great idea to maybe self-quarantine and self-isolate, have a self-teammate bubble there, because there's going to be teams that don't do that. And I think the overall, the risk is necessary considering the overall roster limit. When you have 53 to 55 men on a football field, it definitely amplifies that risk a little bit. So Broncos Country, eager to hear your thoughts. But Broncos Country, coming up here in just a moment, we're going to talk about the toughest four-game stretch for the Denver Broncos in 2020. I was looking at the schedule, and I was thinking, if the season plays out normally, which stretch on the Broncos schedule would be the toughest for them to overcome and why? Who are the teams? What are the storylines? And why is it the toughest schedule stretch for them on the 2020 schedule? We talk about that coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, I got to remind you guys about the sponsor of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. That's our good friends over there at DoorDash. Between the never-ending laundry cycles that you have to do with your family, the incoming emails from working at home, you've got plenty on your to-do list. So if you don't feel like making dinner, give yourself one less thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your next meal. You can continue to support restaurants in your community safely. And there are thousands of restaurants that are open for delivery through DoorDash that need your patronage right now more than ever. So support your favorite restaurants on DoorDash. And all these years you've counted on restaurants and now they are counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they are still open for delivery with DoorDash today. DoorDash is the app that brings you food that you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. You can open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting that you could select when you go to make a selection for what you want to eat. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. All you got to do is just open the DoorDash app, Select your favorite local restaurant and your food will be left at your door. And right now, listeners of Locked On Broncos can get $5 off and zero delivery fees. That's right, $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. When you download the DoorDash app in your app store and you enter promo code Locked On, that's one word, Locked On. That is $5 off your first order and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. So download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter promo code Locked On. Don't forget, that's code Locked On for $5 off your first order and no delivery fees on an order greater than $15 or more through DoorDash today. Previewing the toughest four-game stretch here for the Denver Broncos in 2020, I was taking a look at the schedule yesterday, had a lot of free time on my hands, and I was really trying to anticipate and project maybe where the team may be at this point. I think some people can make the overall argument that the Broncos' opening stretch of the season before their first bye could arguably be the toughest stretch on their schedule. Yeah, there's some tough games. Tennessee's not going to be an easy game. Tennessee's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a physical game. Then you got that week two game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger's back. Juju Smith-Schuster. James Conner is healthy. They've got a lot of pieces there, and they're returning some top defensive talent that's going to make their defensive unit a very, very strong one to contend with in 2020. That's tough. And then guess what? Tom Brady, former Bronco, Shaquille Barrett, Ndamukong Suh, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Rob Gronkowski, O.J. Howard. Those guys are going to be coming to town week three, and that's a tough schedule. Then you got to go Thursday night, short turnaround against the Jets. And then you have a matchup with the Patriots the next week. So two Eastern time zone games. That's a tough stretch, I think, to start the season for the Broncos. And certainly I think that would be most people's selection overall. So I want to hear your thoughts on Twitter at Lockdown Broncos, at Cody Rourke. If you had to choose when looking at the Broncos schedule, what would be the toughest four-game stretch in your opinion? I'll see how many people agree with me and the toughest four-game stretch. So I'm going to start off here. It's going to come in week 12. I think the Broncos' toughest stretch of the 2020 season is going to come week 12. The New Orleans Saints, Drew Brees, Emmanuel Sanders, they're coming to town. Michael Thomas, that defense that they have too is very, very strong. They reloaded on there. They got some depth back. Kiko Alonso should be healthy at the inside backer position. They got Cameron Jordan as an edge rusher. It's going to be a tough, tough matchup overall for the Broncos. And you factor in the secondary, when the Broncos have all these wide receivers, well, then there's Marshawn Lattimore, who's a top cornerback in the NFL today. So that's going to be a tough matchup for the Broncos, both offensively and defensively. Probably one of those games where special teams are really going to play a major factor in the outcome of the game, and also efficiency, reduction of turnovers. I think the advantage here for the Broncos is that, yes, they are going to be at home in this game. I think the Saints are looking for a little bit of revenge, considering that in the 2016 season, the Broncos went to New Orleans and they beat them. Trevor Siemian led some heroics. Justin Simmons blocking the PAT, Will Parks returning it down the sideline, and touchdown Denver. They win it by converting right there. I think that's something that, you know, the Saints probably have never forgotten. I know Sean Payton hasn't forgotten. Drew Brees was playing a phenomenal game that game for the New Orleans Saints. So they're going to come to Denver. They're different. And also there's a lot riding on it too for Emmanuel Sanders, who is a former Denver Bronco. And, you know, he expressed that, you know, he and John Elway weren't always on the same page, but they did see eye to eye in terms of business and what's best for the team, what's best for the player. And look, John Elway and the Broncos did Emmanuel Sanders a solid by trading him to San Francisco. He went on to play in the Super Bowl. He had a chance. He played for a contender. And now, and you know, we're going through the Saints in free agency. He gets to play with a legendary quarterback like Drew Brees. And he also gets to have a chance to be a contender once again. So I think the Broncos did a lot by him. And you see that Emmanuel Sanders has been very involved with guys like Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton. Those guys still remain in contact to this day. And I think it's going to be an exciting matchup. It's obviously bittersweet when you see a former Bronco going against you, but the Broncos will have their hands full against Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. So that's a tough week 12 matchup for the Broncos. Luckily, it's at home. But then you got to go week 13, Sunday Night Football. You're on the road at Kansas City at Arrowhead Stadium in December, folks. And that's a tough place to play. The Broncos have played there during the daytime in a blizzard. And they weren't able to get anything going offensively. Now, defensively, they couldn't get to Patrick Mahomes. He had one of the most efficient quarterback outputs of the 2019 season against them. They got to do a better job in regards to getting to him, playing tighter coverage on guys like Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, and even Travis Kelce. You got to find a way to neutralize that. We know that Damian Williams will not be a factor for the Chiefs in 2020, but you know their first-round rookie selection, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, will be somebody that the Broncos have to account for no matter what. I do think that in this type of offense led by Andy Reid, he's going to pose a significant threat, not just as a rusher, but also as a receiving back out of the backfield. I imagine we're going to see a lot of screen plays. That's what the Chiefs tried to do to the Broncos last season. They really tried to get those running back screens going, and the Broncos did a pretty good job sniffing them out. But a guy like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you can get very creative with him. You could do a variety of things. Now, he becomes the Chiefs' running back one. Then you still have to factor in with Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Mecole Hardman, all the weapons, Sammy Watkins that they still have there in KC, and Patrick Mahomes. So the Broncos, they look to get over that hump. Now, they're going to play Kansas City Week 7. That's going to be a tough game overall. It's going to be in Denver, luckily, to start that. And then they have the bye week, and then they get a rebound after that. But this is a tough stretch. You play the Saints. It's a tough physical team. You play the Chiefs. They're going to be a much more improved team defensively than I think that what we've seen in years past. They still return the NFL's projected top offense coming into 2020. And then you got to turn it around. You got to play a game against the Carolina Panthers team on the road. And right now on paper, nobody's giving Carolina a chance to really do much. A lot of people are projecting that they will have a top five pick in the 2021 NFL draft. I think it's going to be the complete opposite. I think the Panthers are going to be the surprise team in the National Football League this year. And I think that we're going to see that resurgence too, especially with Teddy Bridgewater, a quarterback. You got Robbie Anderson, wide receiver, DJ Moore. You have talented weapons there. Christian McCaffrey, obviously a big, big name to watch there for the Broncos defense when they have to play them. And then I think defensively, look, they loaded up in the NFL draft. They got young. They got Jeremy Chinn back there, a target that, you know, a lot of Broncos fans wanted Denver to select and maybe look at in this year's NFL draft. Obviously, didn't happen, the relation to Steve Atwater, but test out the roof in terms of relative athletic score. Jeremy Chinn is a freak in nature. So they've loaded up defensively, and I think with Matt Rhule really controlling the offense there at Carolina, you know, they're going to try to do whatever they can to put up points, and maybe this young defensive unit can click and gel and maybe find a way. And look, and if they can play really well defensively and offensively, they're going to be a team that you might want to avoid in the NFC. They might be a much more improved team than I think what people are going to give them credit for. So there's a tough three-game stretch right there. But then guess what for the Broncos? It gets even tougher because then you got to come back home week 15. You're hosting the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, John Brown, the rushing attack that they had there with Singletary, and also you'd face that secondary, Tre'Davious White. Cortland Sutton's looking forward to that matchup to see maybe how he can get the advantage. Now, granted, that when the Broncos and the Bills played in 2019, Cortland Sutton rolled his ankle, and the wind was 23 miles an hour to the direction where the Broncos were throwing, and Brandon Allen couldn't throw the ball anywhere. He was having a hard time throwing against the wind, and he kept targeting Cortland Sutton. He had 8 targets, only 1 reception, and Tre'Davious White also had an interception in that game. So Cortland Sutton is looking at that game, but that's going to be a tough 4-game stretch for the Broncos, folks, and really at a most crucial part of the year towards the end of the season, because then you play the Chargers, and then you close out the season with the Raiders at home. That's a tough, tough end of the season stretch, and we talk about playoff positioning. Now, granted, there's going to be an extra wild card. That's still going to be tough regardless, considering that we know how strong the AFC is in general year in and year out. This is an evident storyline to follow. So Broncos country, let me know your thoughts. Send me your toughest 4-game stretch for the Broncos in 2020. I will read them off on the next episode. I'll react to them on Twitter. I'm looking forward to hearing from you guys as well at Cody Rourke NFL, at Lockdown Broncos. But Broncos country coming up here in just a moment. We're going to talk about one Broncos player being named to a specific NFL media names top 25 rankings list of 2020. And one Bronco was left out, one Bronco is on. And we talk about where the Bronco is placed, and we make a case maybe for another Bronco here, but we take a look at the list overall. I'm eager to hear your thoughts and your feedback on this list as well. And plus, he's got a safety article coming out as well, and we're going to see where Justin Simmons and Kareem Jackson rank on that list. But Broncos country, we're going to get to that coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, I got to remind you guys to check out Locked On Nuggets, hosted by Adam Ades and Matt Moore. Michael Porter Jr. went off once again, scoring 30 points and grabbing a career-high 15 rebounds in the Nuggets' second win of the seeding series against the San Antonio Spurs in a shootout game. MPJ's legend is now growing as the Nuggets are doing it without Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, or Will Barton. How are the Nuggets going to utilize the youth right now without those starters, utilizing the experience now of Jokic, Paul Millsap, the explosiveness of Michael Porter Jr., and a young bench? How are they going to set themselves up to be seeded correctly for the NBA playoffs coming up here in just a couple weeks? Check out Locked On Nuggets, hosted by Matt Moore and Adam Ades. Over the weekend, it was announced that Matt Williamson, you guys know him from the Locked On NFL podcast, would be joining Pro Football Network to be the senior NFL analyst over there, and he got right to work. He published his first article on his debut day, and it was the top 25 running backs in the NFL as of today. And one Denver Bronco made the list. And Broncos country, I think when you look at it, it's going to be probably something you guys disagree with. And I am certainly, there is room for interpretation on this as well. But overall, let's start off with 25. Tevin Coleman of the San Francisco 49ers made the list at 25. Doesn't really affect the Broncos here. So you know that a Bronco is not really, really low on the list in terms of the top 25. The Colts, Marlon Mack. 49ers, Raheem Mostert. Todd Gurley, 22 to the Falcons. Mark Ingram, 21 for the Ravens. Miles Sanders, 20 for the Philadelphia Eagles. David Johnson, 19th to the Houston Texans. Le'Veon Bell, 18 for the New York Jets. For the Jacksonville Jaguars at 17, you've got Leonard Fournette. 16, you've got James Conner. 15, you've got Kenyon Drake. 14, you've got Chris Carson from Seattle. And then you get down the list. Kareem Hunt comes in at 13th for the Cleveland Browns. And your first Denver Bronco on this list comes in at number 12. Considered the 12th best running back in the NFL right now, according to Matt Williamson. And that is not Philip Lindsay. That is Melvin Gordon. And Williamson here in this article says, with all respect to Philip Lindsay, expect Gordon to take over Denver's backfield. He says that Gordon is a workload. He says that Gordon is a better receiver and is better in protection than Lindsay and has shown the ability to handle a large workload. He says this is just a high-quality all-around running back that could really aid in quarterback Drew Locke's development at the quarterback position entering his second season. Austin Eckler, his former teammate, comes in at 11 here. But in terms of this, so really for Melvin Gordon, he made the list here at 12. And with the all respect to Philip Lindsay, obviously that means that Lindsay did not make this list. I think there are a lot of people that can argue Lindsay's place, heck, even Gordon's place here on this list, considering that Lindsay has had back-to-back 1,000-yard rushing seasons, considering that in comparison to Melvin Gordon, Philip Lindsay's had a better two-year stretch than him all across the board. But Matt does make some interesting points here that Gordon is probably a more polished receiver right now out of the backfield based on what we know, based on the film that we've seen. And in comparison to Lindsay, we haven't seen the real opportunistic approach with the Broncos to get Lindsay really involved in the passing game. And you mentioned Gordon being a more sizable back. Yeah, that makes him a little bit more suited for pass protection in comparison to Philip Lindsay. But there have been times where Philip Lindsay has been very, very strong in pass protection where he gets lower and he's aggressive. He does embrace contact. He's not the type of running back that's going to try to avoid contact. You know, there's times where he misses against a speed rusher. There's times he gets knocked backwards by a power rusher. That happens there overall for a running back. It don't matter who you are. But I think for Lindsay and his size, look, it's just another underdog mentality approach for him. But in terms of where Gordon is at, I think that's where the Broncos, they invested the most money towards Gordon in comparison to Lindsay for 2020. I think that's going to speak a little bit about maybe where this ranking is at. But I'm eager to hear your thoughts, Broncos country. Where should Philip Lindsay be on this list? Did Philip Lindsay actually make a case for himself in your opinion? And if you believe that Lindsay should be on this list, where should he be overall? So I'll go through the top five list for you as well, because the top five is actually relatively surprising, because one guy is outside of the top five that I think many people thought would be inside the top five overall. So starting things off here, you've got the Browns running back Nick Chubb at 7. Derrick Henry comes in at number 6 for the Tennessee Titans. Dalvin Cook comes in at number 5 for the Minnesota Vikings. Kamara comes in at 4 for the Saints. The Broncos will play Alvin Kamara in 2020. Ezekiel Elliott comes in at 3. Saquon Barkley comes in at number 2. And now you got Christian McCaffrey at number 1. So really, I don't see anywhere where Philip Lindsay can pop in onto that list. But I do think that Lindsay statistically has improved year to year, and he's become a better player. And in year 3, he's got that mentality. He's already been telling people close to him in his close circle that he's going to compete his tail off here at training camp. He's going to prove that he should be the guy week 1 against Tennessee on the field starting, getting majority of the reps there. So, you know, I think for all of us as media members, as fans, you guys spectating the game, a lot of your wonder comes from how are the Broncos going to make this relationship work? I know we've talked about it here on the show. There's going to be competition. And then once a true starter is named, then we're going to have a little bit more of an idea. And it's going to change week to week, depending on how the players do, depending on how Melvin Gordon does, depending on how Lindsay does, how that rotation kind of plays out in and of itself. So Broncos country, eager to hear your thoughts. Where should Philip Lindsay be? Should he be on this list? But that will do it for today's episode of the show. Broncos country, appreciate you guys as always. Just a reminder to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and our good friends over there at Spotify to receive daily exclusive Broncos content and coverage here on the Locked On Broncos podcast. We are here for you guys every single day. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. Once again, you can follow me on Twitter at CodyRourkeNFL. You can follow the podcast at Locked On Broncos. And if you guys guys have a chance right now to go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. We're getting up there. We're approaching 300 total reviews. Your feedback would mean the world. If you love the Lockdown Broncos podcast, I encourage you guys, please leave us a 5-star review. Tell us why you listen every single day. And then I am going to start the Lockdown Broncos sock giveaway. Once again, I've got 8 more pairs remaining. I'm going to give them out to you, the listeners of the show. So we will be back tomorrow to break down a brand new episode of Lockdown Broncos for your listening pleasure.